We were hearing a message last Sunday on 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So we're going to go back there and start with 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And some of you might remember the fitness ball, this big kind of round fitness ball which you use to actually try and improve your fitness in some way. So far, haven't improved mine too much. But the analogy was that the power, the ball needs to be filled with the power of air. And if it loses that air, it becomes soft and it isn't actually usable. It's easily sat on, deflated, pushed down, squashed down. And when that fitness ball is filled with air, full of air, it actually resists whatever is sitting on it and doesn't actually get crushed and doesn't get pushed down. And this scripture, actually, I just use that in analogy. It's only a little analogy in comparison to what the Word of God says, but it just gives you a picture of the power of God. And I don't think any of us can really grasp how amazing God's love and power is. And Paul speaks here about this power being in us who believe in Jesus Christ. This power that is so great that you and I don't have to live a crushed life, a flattened life, but we can live filled with the Holy Spirit. So let's just read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. What an amazing testimony Paul had. No matter what life threw at me, and I want to tell you, if you read about the life of Paul, there was a whole lot that was thrown at him. And he had a lot of persecution. He was once beaten and left for dead, and immediately he got back up. I call that filled with the power of the Spirit and not being deflated. He endured shipwrecks, beatings, and the purpose of God for his life was fulfilled. But it wasn't his power. Because here he's speaking about the all-surpassing power to show that this is God, not this jar of clay, not me, not this human person. It's actually Christ in me. It's actually Christ through his Holy Spirit in me. And I'm trusting that this morning, this message is going to do something in your heart and life if you listen. If you open your ears to hear what the Lord is saying, it's going to do something in you that you're going to begin to experience something of this power. How do you want to experience something of the power of God? I want to. We are seeing the power of God manifest amongst us. But I personally want to see that all surpassing power to show that it's God, not me. The secret of our lives is Christ in us. Paul said that. That is the secret, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And that means that you and I have the very divine nature of God in us. Not of ourselves, but from him. And his nature is love. His nature is holy. And his nature is actually kind and patient. All the things that we read about in the character of Jesus and all the way through the Bible about the character of God, his nature is good. And so we have that divine nature in us, Christ in us, in our spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is in us. God has come to live in you. That's why Scripture says you are, not will be, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is the temple. Your jar, so to speak, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells in you. And this is a radical declaration, but it's true. As God was in Christ, so God is in you. Just think about that a little bit. Don't just get, oh yeah, I know that. As God was in Christ, so God is in you. Because the Holy Spirit himself, who is God, dwells in you. That means when you look into the mirror and you see yourself looking back, you could say, oh, that is Judith. She's got limitations. She's not very good. She doesn't feel very strong today. In fact, when you look into the mirror, some days you have a bad day. Say, I'm not feeling brilliant today. I'm not actually doing very well today. And you're more conscious of who you are rather than God is in me. And I think it's time we looked into the mirror and said, now look at her. God's in her. Who's looking back? Christ in me. The hope of glory. God's in me, therefore I'm holy. Set apart for God. God's in me, so I can love anyone with the love of God. God's in me, so I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So when I look in the mirror, it's impossible to have a bad day when I see who's in me. But we spend a lot of our time more conscious of ourselves than of God in us through the Holy Spirit. And we need to switch the way we think from limited to unlimited, from weak to strong, from I can't to I can through Christ who strengthens me. You see, you don't have to try and have this power. You're not trying to be powerful. You have the power of God. You don't have to try to be a child of God. If you believe in Jesus, you are a child of God. If you are trying to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you already have the Spirit, and you believe that you are filled when you ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Imagine a father ringing up his little boy saying, son, I'm going to send you £100. And this little boy comes off the phone and he goes in to see his mum and he says, mum, I'd like you to help me to believe that my father is going to send me £100. We'd think there is something wrong if a son would say, I'm not sure if my dad's going to do that. Because generally we trust our fathers to keep their word. When they say they're going to do something for us because they love us, then it happens. So they don't need to go to mum and say, could we pray about that and help me to believe? They just say, thanks, Dad, looking forward to spending it. So if God says you have this treasure, aren't you looking forward to spending that? Don't you think your father has already given you what he says he's given you? Yes. It's not something you've got to feel like that little boy. I've got to feel the £100 in my hands before I believe him. You believe him before you feel it. You believe him before you see it. And that is the Christian life. It's based on actually knowing and relying on the love that God has for you. If God says something, you can rely on it. Because he's the perfect father. He never, ever retracts his word. And he always does what he says he is going to do. Now, we must see the need to move from theory to practice. From the Christ in me as a theory, as you're sitting there, you're saying, yeah, well, I know this. I've heard it before. In fact, they keep preaching this message. I wish they'd come on to something slightly more interesting. Well, let me tell you, there isn't anything more interesting than Christ in you. It's the best message that there is, the best news. But we need to move from theory to practice. I remember when I was taking my driving test. I hated doing the theory, actually. I'd rather have driven. But you need to pass your theory. But imagine saying to somebody, could you give me a lift, please, to work? And they would say to you, well, I've done the theory, but I'm happy to take you in my car. What would you say? I don't want to be in a car with somebody who's just got the theory. And the church shouldn't be just having the theory. We shouldn't just be living with the knowledge. We need to live with the power, the all-surpassing power. That it might be showing that this is God, not me. And so the driving theory must move into practice. Because the power of going through the test of the theory means that you actually can drive once you've put it into practice. And we need to put it into practice. This truth that Christ is in us. This truth that the Holy Spirit lives in us. Now we're going to see how to. Let's turn to 2 Kings. Hallelujah. Say to somebody next to you, I'm going from theory to practice in the Christian life. How many of you know that you're extremely boring if all you've got is the theory? You can't help anybody if you've just got the theory. You can't even help anybody just quoting scripture. You need to be a practicing Christian. Someone who's acting on what your father says you already have. I've given you my son. He lives in you through my Holy Spirit. I've given you myself. How could you ever say you don't have what it takes? Why are you looking in the mirror and saying, I feel weak? Shouldn't you be saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens and empowers me. You know, it's time we stop whining about how we feel and start to live by what we believe. It's time we stop moaning or even magnifying what the devil's doing. We need to magnify what God has done and declare that God's here. And if God's here, all things are possible for those who believe and act on that reality. Practice the truth. My word, your world would change, and mine too, if we continually acted on the truth. That Christ is in me. That the Holy Spirit is in me. Lord, I pray we won't just be hearers, but doers of the word. So 2 Kings, let's have a look at this. Now this is really seeing a demonstration of the power. Listening, yeah? See the demonstration of the power of God. 2 Kings chapter 4, let's read the word of God here. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your own house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a little oil. Elisha said, go round and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't just ask for a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. So she left him, and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons, and they brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. Love that. But he replied, there is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. So she went and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what's left. It's a fantastic story. I absolutely love this story because it's about a real life situation. And we need to know that God meets us in real life, that there is a real God who cares about real life situations, that God is the everlasting God, that he is the eternal creator, but your way is not hidden from his eyes, and he sees your daily life, and he is interested in seeing you receive the power you need and the miracle you need to succeed and to flourish in life. So, what happened is that this woman had lost her husband, and they must have owed money and got into debt, and the creditors were coming because the sons could pay the debt through working. So it was like the sons were going into slavery. And this is a desperate situation. And there may be people here this morning or listening to this message today. You're in a desperate situation. You've got a need in your life that actually you need a miracle in. And God is saying to you, turn to me. Don't turn away. Because sometimes I've seen, as a pastor, I've seen people turn away from the Lord when they get into trouble. And that is the biggest plan of the devil, is to turn your heart away and start to believe a lie that God did what you're in, the trouble that you're in, God actually was behind it. But let me tell you the truth that needs to build your life, that God is good and that he never, ever plans bad. And he's always got a plan to prosper you and not harm you, to give you a hope and a future. And he had a plan for this widow. He had a plan. Did you hear? He's not short of a plan. He's got a plan. And it will start. You will start to connect with that plan when you turn to God. And you start to pray. And do you know what the prayer is? Help! Essentially, the widow is very short prayer. We're a godly family. My husband is dead. This is the situation. Help me. Isn't that great? I can pray that. Help, Lord. We need you. So don't turn away. Turn to the Lord. And start to pray, help. This is the situation, Lord. I look to you for a miracle. And Elisha replied, but actually it was the reply of God. God spoke through this prophet. And that's what you need to see. It's not a man speaking. It's God speaking. And God is speaking today. He is speaking right now. Turn to me, ask for help, and I'm going to meet your need. I'm going to do a miracle. Oh, there's an atmosphere of miracles. I just felt a change happen here today. I just an atmosphere of miracles. Unbelief, leave the room in the name of Jesus. I loose a spirit of faith over you. Turn to God, because God is here. And we're going to hear what he has to say about your miracles. And the miracles of those you're going to help to receive from Jesus. Not just for us, for others. You know, often the biggest blessing and the greatest miracles come from the hardest places of life. You might be in the hard spot, tough spot, sad spot, broken spot, whatever spot you're in. God sees it, but he says, in that place, I'll do my greatest miracle. Why? Because it'll be showing that this is God, not you. That the all-surpassing power is of God, not you. Thank you, Lord. And so we can look at our hard places instead of saying, why me? Why did this happen to me? You can say, Lord, thank you for an opportunity to see the all-surpassing power of God come into this situation and bring about change and a miracle. Come on. Is Jesus alive? Is he here? And does he have the power to change everything? Yes, he does. And he loves you enough to work on your behalf. Oh, happy day. We sang it, but we believe it. This is a happy day. It throws us on God. This woman, she didn't run around to her neighbors complaining, saying, I need help. Please help me. Whining, moaning. Why did this have to happen? Why? Where is God in all of this? She said, I'm going to God and I'm throwing myself completely on the one who is able to do far more than I could ask or imagine according to the power that is at work in me. In a hard place, throw yourself on the life saver. I used to be a life saver at a swimming pool. Did some of you know that? Some of you might have known that. It was slightly boring. In fact, it was very boring all the time until somebody was drowning. And when somebody was drowning, it suddenly got really interesting. You woke up, you shook up, you blew a whistle, and you went in. But actually, you're trained as a lifesaver to wait for the struggle to go out of the one you're saving. To wait till that person stops trying to save themselves and they actually go limp and it looks like they've gone. Another tactic, and the Lord would never do this, but I think it's funny, is to go behind the one that's drowning, try and knock them out if they're struggling too much, because they won't save themselves. In fact, they'll pull you down with them. Of course, you can never pull God down with you. But he wants to save you. But you must get into the position where you are not trying to save yourself. You're not struggling with what you're in. You're giving up and saying, God, here I am, do a miracle. Jesus is the life saver, not just to save you from eternity in hell and from your sins. He's the savior every day of your life, in every situation you are facing. I'm preaching today. This is the glory of the Jesus that lives in us. He saves us to the uttermost. He wants to save your situations. He wants to save your broken life. He wants to rescue you out of everything that the devil seems to be doing to steal from you. Our God is able to save. He is mighty to save. Those who come to him, beloved, go to Jesus. He is the only one who has the power to save you. And in that place, the hard place of not being able to work out how and why, or God is able to do something that is going to make you smile again. to take all the sadness out of your life and lift you up into a place of, oh, Jesus, you're so good. What did God say to this woman? I mean, for me, it's almost audacious to say, what have you got in your house? I think she would have sold the jewelry. I don't think she'd have had anything in the bank. And for God to say, what have you got in your house? He's saying, I'm your provider, but I want you to know what you've got. He turns it round from him to, what have I already given you? Because often, you know, we're unbelieving believers. We ask God all the time, we're praying, do this, and he'll say to us, well, what have I already given you? Haven't we begun this message today with what we've already got? We have this treasure. We have the Holy Spirit. We've got God. And so God says, what have you got? And this widow says, well, she might have started like this. Well, I feel empty. I feel, what on earth is he trying to say I've got? Because I can't see I've got anything to give in this situation. And God says, no, you've got something. I want you to find it. And hidden in this jar, out of sight, is a little bit of oil. And hidden in your jar is a very valuable deposit of oil. And oil always speaks of the Holy Spirit. It's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. You can't see him, can you? You can't actually feel him right now, can you? Some of you might be, but he's in you. And she said, oh, I've just got a little bit of oil. It doesn't seem very much. And you know the Holy Spirit in you and me. There are so many times where I don't feel I've got what I need to meet the need I'm facing. Do you ever feel what you're facing, you've got what you need? I hardly ever do. I remember, I think it was it in the beginning of February, we had a prophecy night. And we said to all of those who had never had a personal prophecy to come in and receive a word from God. And basically, we didn't feel like prophesying. And before we actually started, we looked at each other and went, oh, well, probably, yeah, all the best, Pastor Andrea said. She said, I hope it goes well. Yeah, me too. And what was happening is actually we started in faith. And we didn't feel a thing. I didn't feel no anointing. I didn't feel no shake. I didn't feel no heat. I didn't feel no good because I was a little bit... Right, who's first? But you know what? It's like the oil in this pouring out. And there were over 40... We started at 7:30. We're still prophesying at 10:30. For 3 hours solid. We spoke words from God coming out of us, prophesying the destiny and the future over individuals' lives. It was just amazing. And when we reread those prophecies, we read, wow, God said that. God said that. Isn't that perfect for that person? Oh, my goodness me. But we only had a little oil hidden in our spirit. But that is not a little. It's God himself. And you may never feel like you're strong. You may never feel like you've got what it takes to meet that need. But God is saying, I want you to look in the mirror and say, in this jar, there is oil. In this jar, God is in me. And if God is in me, then the limits are off. Amen. You see, in your house is your body, your temple. It's how you see it. What's in your house? Now, what's in somebody's house? What's in yours? You need to recognize. We need to be seeing what's in us. The question is God unemployed in your life? Is he underutilized? Is he an unreleased power? Hello? Anybody there? Is there anybody there? Is there any jar that wants to see God fully employed in me and through me? I don't want him to be there in the jar, hidden away and never used. It's time we tapped into this all-surpassing power of the God who lives within. Can you see this? See, it's new creation teaching in the Old Testament. The problem, if you've read your Old Testament, with Hagar, this lady who was in the desert, running away from Sarah, the problem was she couldn't see that the water was there. And she was crying out to God, but God said, there's water here in the desert. And the problem with Elisha's servant, when he said, the enemy's all around. They've come to get us. We're going to die. This is the end of the road for us. Elisha, we're going to die. The problem with him was he couldn't see that the armies of heaven were more than what the enemy was doing. And so the problem is that we're not seeing straight. We're not seeing right. We're not seeing the truth of what's in the jar. We're limiting the God in us, where God says, let me loose, let me out, let me begin to do something through your life that people will say, that's God. I'm tired of people saying, I've preached well. I want them to say, that's God. I don't want people to say, oh, she's got this, that, and the other. I want them to say, oh, my goodness, that was God. That prophecy night was God. It was a demonstration of the Spirit. But all of us have the same Holy Spirit. Oh. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? And the Word of God comes. Okay, you found your oil. You've located it. Now I want you to find empty vessels. You see, beloved, our lives are so full of life. Well, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to go to work, I've got to see the cleaners, I've got to go and see this, do that. Our lives are so full of what we've got to do. Our lives are so full of ourselves, what we want. And until we empty ourselves, we can't be filled. We empty ourselves of what we want, what we think. Even just this total availability. Lord, I just empty my soul, my emotions. I just say, come and fill my emotions. I just want to put that pot before you. Fill it. I put the pot of my will and say, let your will be done. Fill that part of my life. I fill my body. Fill me, Holy Spirit. I give you my body. Come and fill me. And sometimes I think we're trying to be filled when we're already full of ourselves. And I do feel our greatest days are ahead, church. But then we've got to get empty to see the oil fill us, haven't we? And yes, there's a moment of consecration. There's a moment where we bow before the Lord and say, whatever, Lord, whatever you choose to do with me, fill me. I'm not here for my agenda and my own way. I'm here for you. But I know that I need you to fill my life. And this widow went around and got all these empty vessels, as many as she could, borrowed them. And the Lord, you see, the secret is in the word of how to see the power. Because the Lord says, now pour out what you've already got. It's so opposite, isn't it? We go around looking for bank loans or for people to do stuff for us, or we need something, somebody needs to do something for us. And the Lord says, no, give what you've already got. Isn't that amazing? If you want to see a miracle, start giving. Don't you think that's the opposite to what the world says? The world says, when you want to see a miracle, start receiving. When you need something to happen in your life, start taking. But God says, start giving. Start pouring out what you've already got. Empty vessels are filled. Act like you have more than enough and begin to pour it out. And I just would love to have been in that room when the widow starts to pour. Right, that's one full. Well, that's a jar more than I thought we had. She just kept pouring. She kept pouring. And do you know something? She'd still be pouring today. Because as much as you give to the Lord and empty out before Him, He'll fill. If you want Him to fill your family, your work, your emotions, your whole being, your body, you need a miracle. If you want Him to do something in your workplace, start pouring out. God is able to fill every vessel. Then God says, sell the oil. And I think this is, we're just going to come into land now. Because the power is in the pouring out. And then the advice is that the word of God comes and says, sell the oil. Now, oil in that culture was money. It could be converted to money. So you can sell the oil and it's converted to money, which then can buy food. It can buy housing and provision. And so there was value in the oil. And the oil was what was needed to meet every need. Okay, can I say that again? The oil was what was needed to meet every need. Then say, the Holy Spirit is what is needed to meet every need. Jesus said this. Turn with me to Luke, and we're going to finish with this scripture. Aha, I pray that you'll see this. This is dynamite. Luke chapter 11. Teach us your ways, Lord, that we can walk in the power, meeting every need and seeing God work miracles. Luke chapter 11. Verse 11. Which of you fathers, if a son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? So he's talking about natural fathers wanting to give their kids good things. He'll never give you anything bad. It might not be quite what you thought, but everything that God has given me and asked and done in my life, I'm just only here to testify God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. I've been empty, but I've been filled. I've been empty this week. I've seen needs around me, but the power of the Holy Spirit has met those needs. I've seen God do things this week, showing me that His all-surpassing power is able to do what I can't do. Isn't that exciting? You'll have an exciting week if you do this word. And so he's saying, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake, or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. So this is talking about giving, your father giving you things. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And you might be sitting there and saying, well, I need a healing miracle. And God's saying, the Holy Spirit's what you need. You might need money. The Holy Spirit's what you need. You might need a job. The Holy Spirit's what you need. You might need a miracle in a relationship. The Holy Spirit's what you need. You might need faith. The Holy Spirit. Peace. The Holy Spirit. Purity. The Holy Spirit. Whatever you need, the Holy Spirit. So God says, I'm a good father. Every good thing comes through the indwelling Holy Spirit. He's saying what you need is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because out of knowing him, you will have provision, change circumstances. You will see God work the miracle. The currency of the kingdom of heaven, released by faith as we pour out of our lives, the currency is the Holy Spirit. See, we think we need this as we have our lists. God says, you need to be filled. And Luke also says in chapter 7, I'm just going to finish with this, give and it will be given. In other words, pour out and it will pour in. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So in other words, if that widow had said, I don't feel like doing this, can't you just do a miracle? She'd never have seen it. If she'd have said, I'm just going to pour into one jar, she wouldn't have paid her debts. But if she does what God says and pours out as much as she can into every empty vessel, then she will see the outpouring of the Spirit in her personal life. Let's not reverse the process. It doesn't say take and it will be given. It says give and it will be given. This is the all-surpassing power. She was able to pay her debt and her sons went free. Whatever your need, God is the answer. That's what I'm here to tell you from the Lord today. Whatever you need, it's in relationship with the Holy Spirit. And he is able to fill and meet every need. But you can't do it keeping it to yourself. You won't see it hanging on and asking everybody to pray for you, everybody to do stuff for you. It's time to give because it will be given. We need to be radical givers, servants, those who give to others and serve others. And God is really wanting to outpour his Holy Spirit in this time. But until you start to give what you have, you won't see more. And the Lord, you know, wants you to pray for somebody other than your own thing. Aren't you able to pray fervently for you and your family? He does want to broaden your horizon. And pray for those who don't know him. Pray for people in the church. Go beyond yourself and start to give in prayer. Don't wait to be served. Serve. And in the giving, the Holy Spirit is going to do the miracle that you are looking for. May we have eyes to see that this treasure is in the jar. And that this treasure, when poured out, will supply others' needs and our own. Because God's all-surpassing power will be shown as we give what we have. Let's stand together.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith South West, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.